Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, and this week I've got the correct scripture reading and title in the bulletin. As the last couple weeks I've forgot to change them, but everything is correct this week, and we're going to be reading Exodus chapter 30, the verses 17 through 21. Verses 17 through 21. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water, so they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet, so they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 30. The first thing that you are to notice about our text is what is not included within our text. In all the other parts of the tabernacle and the courtyard and the furniture that is to be placed inside of the Holy of Holies, the holy place, and the courtyard, there are specific instructions given as to the dimensions of the altar or the item that is to be built. There are instructions for how high, for how wide, for what is to be included in each and every aspect and what size. Yet, as we come to Exodus 30, 17 through 21, there are no instructions given for the bronze laver. And so, as we look at this particular passage this morning, instead of reflecting only upon what's not there, which we'll get to later, we begin by looking this morning at what is there. And in verse 18 we read that God specifically tells them where this laver is supposed to be. "Make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it." God has the people place this bronze basin, this bronze laver, right in between the tent of meeting and the altar. As the people were to enter into the courtyard, into the place where God was in the tent of meeting, the first place that they would go was to stand in front of the altar. No one may approach God without first having the sacrifice done for their sins. As sinners, as they entered the courtyard, they would bring their offering to the Lord. The priest would sacrifice their animal. Blood would be shed for their sins, and they could enter into the courtyard itself. The second thing that they would face would be the bronze laver. As they walked to that place, they would stand in front of this bronze laver, this basin of water, and they would know that there had to be washing for their sins. Now notice that the people do not wash themselves here, but it is the priests, Aaron and his sons. In verse 19 we read this, "Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and their feet with water from it whenever they enter the tent of meeting." For anyone to approach God, they had to pass in front of the altar where there was blood shed for their sins. Then they had to be washed in this bronze laver before the Lord. And as they were washed, they knew that the priests were washing for them. Now remember, the priests represented the people. They could not go into this tent of meeting or the tabernacle structure itself. Only the priests could go. The people stood on the outside and watched as the priests washed their hands and their feet and as they entered. Notice that this is not a complete washing for the priests. They are to wash their hands and their feet with water from it. The things that they do inside of the tabernacle with their hands are to be sanctified. The place that they go inside of the tabernacle with their feet is to be sanctified. As God's servants, as representatives of the people themselves, they enter into that place sanctified, washed of water. Now, this was a very, very important thing for them to do. In fact, it was so important that we read in verse 20 and 21 that if they failed to wash before entering, they would surely die. Verse 20, anyone who enters the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister, presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so they will not die. So important is this water, so important is this washing, that anyone who fails to do such a thing faces death. Now keep in mind the progress of the picture here. People come to meet with the Lord. As they enter the courtyard, there first must be the shedding of blood for their sins, the sacrifice on the altar. The second thing that must happen before they can enter into the tabernacle itself, before the priests go in for them, is there must be a washing of water. Sacrifice on the altar, blood is shed, water is washed of their hands and of their feet. Well, why is the penalty so severe? Why is it such an important thing that they be washed of this water that if they fail to wash, they face death? Well, the answer to that question can be found in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 4. In the book of 2 Chronicles, God is giving instructions to Solomon as to how the temple should be built. And if you remember, the temple is the replacement for the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a temporary place where God could meet with his people so that the people could move from place to place as they went through the wilderness. And as they enter into the promised land, and after David has finished conquering the land, Solomon his son builds a temple for the Lord in this place where they can worship God. God is no longer moving from place to place. But his temple is a permanent structure within the land of Canaan so that he will dwell with his people on a permanent basis. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, we read of the furniture that is to be built within the courtyard. In verse 1, we read that he made a bronze altar, 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 10 cubits high. He also made the sea of cast metal, circular in shape, measuring 10 cubits from rim to rim and 5 cubits high. It took a line of 30 cubits to measure around it. Below the rim, figures of bowls encircled it, 10 to a cubit. The bowls were cast in two rows in one piece with the sea. The sea stood on 12 bowls, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. The sea rested on top of them, and their hindquarters were toward the center. It was a handbreadth in thickness, and its rim was like the rim of a cup. Like a lily blossom, it held 3,000 baths. He then made the 10 basins for water, for washing, and placed 5 on the south side and 5 on the north. And in them, the things to be used for the burnt offerings were rinsed, but the sea was to be used by the priests for washing. You notice that as the temple is being built, the name is changed for the replacement of the bronze laver. What is replaced by is described as a sea. In fact, if you look at your footnotes this morning, you will see that this replacement is to be 7.5 feet tall, and 45 feet wide. It is estimated that this structure could contain some 1,200 to 2,000 gallons of water. It was a huge cup, a huge basin in which the priests were to wash. And notice in verse 6, it tells us that the things of the tabernacle that they were to use inside of the temple, the things to be used in the burnt offerings were rinsed, but the sea was to be used by the priests for washing. So big is this basin for washing that Solomon is told to build a sea, something so big that it looks like the sea, something so large that as somebody goes from the altar into the courtyard and they see this large structure, it is striking for them to see how much water is in this place, how much water must be used for the priests to wash. It is no wonder that God does not give specific instructions as to how to build this Old Testament laver. God does not give specific instructions because later it is described as the sea. Now you remember that when God created the world, He created the heavens and the earth in three dimensions. It is described that God created the heavens, the earth, and the waters under the earth. And as part of God's new creation, the tabernacle structure and the temple structure, once again God has created it in three dimensions. There is the Holy of Holies, the holy place, and the courtyard. And it should not surprise us that within the courtyard there is a place that is described as the sea, a sea for which God's priests are to wash before entering into the place where His holy dwelling is, the Holy of Holies and the holy place. But this washing that is to take place by the priests is not the first washing for the people. For the people have already been washed. And we find this in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is writing of God's people, Israel. And he is reflecting back on what happened there in the wilderness. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 this: "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." You see, when God called His people out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, He was about to make a covenant with them. And in this covenant, God would meet with them at Mount Sinai and cause there to be a tabernacle structure built so that He could dwell with His people. That no longer would there be a distance between them, but as God's covenant people, they would have God's dwelling with them. And for God to dwell with His people, for them to be a part of His covenant, they had to be washed in the sea. You see, in verse 2 it tells us of 1 Corinthians 10, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. For God to dwell with His people as His covenant people, for them to enter the promised land that God had promised for them, they had to be washed in the sea. But clearly this was not the final washing, was it? For God's people who had already been washed, for them to enter into the presence of God, into the tabernacle itself, the priest had to wash in the sea. They had to be washed again and again every time they were about to enter. The washing was not complete that they had experienced every man, woman, and child as they went through the sea. They knew that there was a further washing to come. and that further washing would come by God's Son. In Matthew chapter 3, we read of the baptism of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And in Matthew, we read the story, first of all, of the birth of Jesus. And because of Herod, Jesus is sent off to Egypt. And out of Egypt, God calls his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who becomes the new Israel, who has taken the place of the Old Testament Israel and has walked in their ways and has gone to the place that they have gone. And he is ready to enter the land and begin his ministry. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, we read this. Then Jesus came up from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus is baptized not for his own sins. Jesus, as the God-man, as the second Adam, is baptized to fulfill what God had commanded. Part of God's covenant promise, part of God's covenant plan was that his people would be baptized. And as Jesus, as the second Adam, is baptized, he is baptized and washed for all of his people. And not only is Jesus baptized, but Jesus is also the sacrifice. You see, for anyone to enter into the temple or to the courtyard, they had to first pass through the altar. Blood had to be shed for their sins, then there had to be washing, and then the priest could enter into the tabernacle to represent the people before God. In Jesus, we have the offering. In Jesus, whose blood was shed on the cross, who died for our sins, he became the sacrifice once and for all. In Jesus' baptism, we identify with him and were washed. The washing that we have received is more than just Jesus' baptism, however, for we have the washing of the forgiveness of sins. It is his blood that cleanses the people, his covenant people, of their sins. And as Jesus has cleansed them of their sins, as he has washed them in his blood, they can enter into the presence of God. In the New Testament, we have what we call baptism. As Israel was baptized into Moses, every man, woman, and child as they passed through the sea, so are God's covenant people baptized into him. Every man, woman, and child is baptized into the name of Christ. They become part of that covenant people. And God dwells with those people as he dwells within his church. They move from outside of the covenant to inside of the covenant, to being in the presence of God. But baptism is not something for us that is a requirement for salvation. God commands us to baptize, and so we baptize. But if someone is not baptized, that doesn't mean that they are not saved, because the Lord Jesus Christ has been baptized. For the Lord Jesus Christ has been the sacrifice once and for all for their sins, and he washes away their sins. And so when we are baptized today, we demonstrate by a sign and a seal that we belong to Jesus, that we are part of his covenant, that he has truly washed us and cleansed us of our sins. Before the priest could enter into the presence of God, he had to wash or he would die. For us to enter the presence of God, we have to believe in his sacrifice once and for all. We have to know that his blood was shed and he has washed our sins away in his blood, in his sacrifice. We have to know that we are baptized into his name as the people were baptized into Moses, and that the water that is sprinkled upon our heads represents the washing away of our sins. Not that the baptism does, but that Jesus has done. Our baptism represents a moving from outside to inside. As the priest came from the outside and washed and then went into the inside, so do we as God's people move from outside of the Lord's covenant and outside of his presence into the inside of his covenant. By the baptism that is placed upon our heads, so do we move into the presence of God who dwells with his people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for what we could read this morning. We thank you for the washing that takes place for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that as the Old Testament people moved from outside of your presence and outside of your covenant, inside to dwell with you, so, O God, have you done that for us. We thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for us, who has cleansed us of all of our sins, and who has brought us into your presence. We thank you that you do dwell with your people in the church. We thank you, Lord, for the sign and the seal of baptism, which assures us that we are yours and that we belong to you. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to know and embrace and appreciate our baptisms each and every day, that you would work in the hearts of those, Lord, who still have not grasped this and have not reached out and overwhelmingly, Lord, understood and know what it means. We pray, O God, that you would help us as your people to be faithful to you and to your covenant and to our Savior. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.